Good evening.
Good evening.
Shall we go around and introduce ourselves for a moment?
Wendy.
Ron.
Chris.
Yap.
Don.
Stefan.
Leslie.
Violet.
Leslie.
Angie.
John. The Eightfold Path of Shakyamuni Buddha was the first teaching that he gave after his great realization. And it's the fourth of the Four Noble Truths, the path, the avenue to awareness and awakening. And it's profound in its simplicity, in its power, in its effectiveness. For the shortness of the teaching, especially, it's not a guidebook or a set of rules you pull out and find out what to do. It's a way to deepen our practice with specific awareness steps. Not that they're sequential at all; they're interrelated and dynamically interwoven, and it's important to get familiar with those. The Eightfold Path is actually undergirded by a case that we studied here 2 weeks ago, case one of the Book of Serenity. That case is entitled "The World Honored One Ascends the Platform." And the case states, one day the world-honored one ascended the platform and took the seat. Manjushri struck the han and announced, "When you are realized, the Dharma King's Dharma is just as is." And it's that as is that is the basis for the Eightfold Path, the reality of our practice. And so you can see how all these teachings are interwoven in one great organic whole. And the Eightfold practice itself, it looks like it's in four dyads. And the dyads, you see a lot of the Eastern cultures. Dyad is a complementary pair that works together, mutually supports itself. Yin yang is a case in point. Hot, cold, up, down, those complementary pairs. You can see that in the setup of the teaching itself, like right view and right intention are the first two. And the first one is like a pause and a balance. Right view. You pause and get a view. And the second one is the execution. You develop an intention based on that view. And the four of them are structured somewhat like that. The right in here is not a binary right. It's not a right and a left, or it's right and wrong, or something like that. It's right as appropriate for the practice, your practice. This is all about your practice. That's why it can't be any guidebook or rules to follow. Because your practice is your own, and it's not like anybody else's. So you have to adapt it to your needs, your situations, your time, as appropriate for you, and work with it as you see fit. So the first one, right view, is the view of what's going on with us as is, the flow of internal dialogue, internal discourses, daydreams, and stuff that impedes our experience of what is. And the execution of that is the intention to do something about that, to move in to hinder the flow, interrupt the flow, stop the flow, and see what is, manifest what is. The next is right speech, and that's paired with perhaps right livelihood. Right speech is bare speech, simple speech, that doesn't have any additions on it, or subtractions. It's just pure, bare, bone fact, straightforwardly presented. I could say, it was hot last weekend at Jokoji. Kobun once said to me, Lama Govinda is dead. Bare bones stuff like that, undiluted, not filtered, just straightforward, 100% right speech. And right livelihood is intertwined with that. It's very difficult, I believe, to consider that we'd have a right livelihood without right speech, to connect with people and find out what's happening and references and interviews, all that sort of thing, take speech. And right livelihood is as is of the world and its opportunities. And as is of our strengths and weaknesses, to compare to those opportunities, to suit our practice, right livelihood would mean for us. Right discipline is getting the energy to work with the blocks of impedance of our experiencing of what is, and the effort is carrying out what we learned in that right discipline. So right discipline might be one hand, right effort in the other hand. And again, the discipline you apply is what's needed. And truly, there is no one to be disciplined and no one to discipline. So it's an interesting practice. The last dyad is mindfulness and meditation. And mindfulness is spacious and open. We're eating ice cream, and we're aware of the ice cream and aware of the room we're in while we're eating the ice cream. We're mindful of our environment and situation. So mindfulness is a comfortable place, a trusting place that we can be aware of and mindful of. And it's a creative space. It's open to possibilities. We can move more freely in there. We compare that to meditation, which is more focused on what is right there. We focus on in Kinhin, we focus on our posture and our breathing, and we let our mind do what it is. We don't control that. But it is, there's some discipline in there. There's an execution of the mindfulness, the next step up in the meditation. And the meditation is the manifestation of what is. We're not doing anything, we're being everything. It's the total manifestation of the practice. We're sitting there, aware, manifesting what is in our own person, our own sitting. So these are very interrelated awarenesses. They're interwoven. They connect with each other. You could imagine that discipline has something to do with right view, and so on and so forth. They're all interconnected, and we work with them as we will. I mean, eight is an octahedron space, so if we have the top of the octahedron facing up, we're looking at, let's say, right speech. But the other seven sides we're holding in our hand in the space, so they're all supporting that. So it's like that in the eightfold set of awarenesses. Each one is working with the other one. They're all interwoven. They're all actually dynamic, as I mentioned, dynamic and interwoven, and there's no end to that practice. It just deepens, and it's attraction practice, actually. It's attraction to nowhere, attraction to deepening our practice. But just the attention that we draw to those eight awarenesses is enough to trigger us that maybe we want to check our viewpoint or check our speech. And it's just a very handy guide to this practice. And it's profound in its brilliance, so simple. We can look at that as much as we want, and it's kind of like a spiral staircase. You know, you're at one level, and you look down where you were, say, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, and what you're doing with that set of awarenesses, and what you're doing now, and how it's affecting you. To see that progression is helpful too, to deepen our awareness as we deepen our practice. I use those words. They're not true words, but you got to speak, so we use words. It's not deepening practice. Difficult to say what I mean. Any comments, questions?
So is the list pretty, the sequence of the list, is that pretty consistent with all traditions?
Oh, they vary slightly. The right discipline might be something different, like right action. They somewhat different, but the same meaning. I think they translated from the Sanskrit.
Well, not the words, but the order.
The order is pretty much the same. I think the order is in there.
So, mindfulness comes before meditation.
Yeah.
Traditions.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was wondering, this path, this eightfold, it holds up in eight ways, or it has eight aspects, or whatever. It's great. All these things come together. I think maybe they just all work together.
Yes.
And sort of the metaphor we use is the path.
Yes.
Which is the kind of path we take in life or in spiritual growth. We don't necessarily know exactly, you know, what the relationship of one of these things to another is, other than the pairs of things come.
Yes.
They all kind of cook together.
Yes, that's, I think that's very true. They're all integrated seamlessly and non-separate from the beginning. And we work as one, we're really working with all of them. It's an interesting practice.
When you mention right speech, it seems to me that we are experiencing, hearing so many words every day that seems to be interfering with so many thoughts, and to process all this.
So could you speak a little bit louder, please?
The right speech,
yes,
seems to be important to me because there's so many words every day that interferes with,
yes,
thoughts,
yes,
of one's own. What are the guidelines of how right speech should be, can be practiced?
Well, as I say, the whole purpose here is to get into as is, undiluted and unfiltered, whole and complete, as is. Like Lama Govinda died. It doesn't need any additions to that. It's a bare, truthful statement of what is. So the speech that we're talking about is like that. We don't have to say, I wouldn't have to say, I think it was hot at Jokoji last weekend. I could say it was hot at Jokoji last weekend. It was. But I don't have to say, I think. That addition kind of dilutes the impact of the bare simplicity of the truth. It was hot at Jokoji last week. Can I answer that? Yes.
So, that works for it was hot at Jokoji last week.
Excuse me?
That approach there, I forget all the qualifications you said, sort of unvarnished truth.
Yes.
Works for an objective fact.
Yes.
It was hot at Jokoji last week.
Yes.
And for many things, my truth is mine alone. And, like, I mean, a great example was the little thing Wendy and I had about the window. Like Wendy said, please close the window, it's noisy. And my truth is, it's hot. You know. And my ego aside, like, I get the part where I have to be right, but my ego aside from it, both those statements could possibly be right speech. So I guess maybe this issue of how to practice it needs a little more filling out about the truth.
Yes.
Because for me, most often, there isn't the truth.
Well, see, when we work with as is, we are working with the bare truth. When we work with the ego has its own opinions. But as is has no opinions. It's the bare truth of the true self.
Can you say that again? I'm sorry, I am now, of course, because I left the top open, I'm having trouble hearing.
I know the problem.
Could you just repeat it? I couldn't hear.
I see. The Eightfold Path, those eight awarenesses are about the truth of our practice, the reality of the Buddha Dharma as is. So it's not, we're not trying to bring our ego selves in here. It's a non-dual practice, but we're not trying to foster ego attachments. This is the middle path, the middle way. So we leave some of the ego stuff out as much as we can, and just say the bare truth. I'm hot. I need the window open. But that's an ego need.
Hmm?
It's an ego need. If you didn't say that, you say, I'm hot.
And I should have been more aware and offered you to sit on this side of the room with the windows. Thank you.
Well, another way to look at. Another way to look at it would be to just accept what is.
Yes.
It's hot. Sure. Just accept that,
mm-hmm.
and leave it alone. Mm-hmm. That puts the ego in a little bit of a, mm-hmm. a side place and lets the reality of a hot room be present, or a cold room is what is.
Sit with the reality of noisy freeways. You did. I'm trying to think. It's not cars going by, it's the ocean, it's the wind blowing. Just separate the sound from the reality essence.
Well, that's an interesting point. I've been sitting here for a long time. For me, the sound of the freeway is almost part of the experience. And I've gotten so used to it that it just seemed like, oh yeah, that's the sound. The silence, on the other hand, were a little distracting for me.
Yeah.
They didn't last for me. But, you know, I found set really focused, sound doesn't matter. I mean, for me, it does, and this is really super loud, like a jackhammer. It doesn't really matter that much after a while. It's just part of the reality
yeah.
that I'm.
Yes, yeah. The sound is what is.
I mean, can either chase after it and little Bobby or. Ignore it or just let it be. That's part of what it is.
Well, the sound is what's happening in this location next to the freeway. There's some sound, and that's what is. So you have a choice of rejecting or accepting it. And if we accept it, we'll be more in the tune of our practice instead of pushing it away.
Yeah, I just feel a little bit of resistance in this conversation because I feel like for plenty of people to say, I think it's hot in this room, we should open a window, can also actually be your practice. Because sometimes it's really hot and that actually might negatively impact your physics. And so then to actually raise that suggestion could benefit many people around you also.
Yes.
And I don't see why engaging in that subjectivity, even though it's all relative, wouldn't benefit us.
Yeah. It's an interesting question. The whole question is interesting. The balance between relative and absolute. You know, as is a bit of an absolute, and I'm hot, and I want the window open is a bit of a relative. But our practice is non-dual. It's not separate from either of those. So it's worked out.
Right. But exactly because it's not separate, I would think that it's useful to open the window if it's hot.
Yes. Well, maybe the way to do that is just to get up and open the window.
And that's what we do.
Right.
Yeah, and then somebody's going to have a problem with the noise, maybe.
Well, yes, we could change our tradition. Traditionally, we close the windows on that side for the talk. Mm-hmm. But we could change.
It's done.
It just brings up a very humorous point on Facebook. The other day I saw a video clip of a woman sitting in a seat on a bus and a man behind her, and she put the window up and he pulled the window down and she pushed it up and he pushed it down, and they went on like that for about 20 minutes. And as soon as she pushed it up, he put his hand in there and pushed it down. And it was like they just went on and on and on with this battle, and neither one of them was willing to give in.
Yeah.
It's quite amusing. So we could always try that too.
Well, that's a great illustration of the that's a great illustration of the ego in action.
Right.
You know, that's what we get into, and that's our practice, working with the ego, that false self that thinks it's in the driver's seat, wants this and wants that, and I want to be catered to. And in this practice, we tamp that down a bit. We discipline. This practice is about taming body and mind. You know, and we sit in zazen, and we focus on our breathing and our posture, and that's a discipline. So, I'm not offering any solution here, but the practice is what it is. It's a discipline practice.
I also wanted to add that I appreciate your giving the viewpoint on the Eightfold Path in that way. It was helpful for me because of my particular nature. Everything is black and white, and right view means you're supposed to know what the viewpoints are of, you know, non-duality and all the things that we're taught. And so right speech means, you know, don't swear, don't say cruel things, harmful things. And so they're all sort of like, don't do this, do that for me. And it gets into no killing, no, you know, abusing the three treasures, that kind of thing. And while I think there's some usefulness to that, and I'm sure there was some of that originally with Shakyamuni and the sangha that he had, as far as behaviors go, your viewpoint about how they're intertwined and it's not necessarily a black and white thing, that they all work together, is very helpful for me, because that's how I tend to look at things. Oh, you're supposed to have this viewpoint and don't talk that way.
Yeah.
It's not really that way.
No, it's not that way. It's not a binary practice. It's both and.
Thank you.
It's time. Thank you. Should we have a 1 minute sit?
Okay, first announcement.
Announcements? Excuse me. Announcement, please. Anybody?
So I sent out an email to everyone on the list this week. If you didn't get one, you're not on the list, and give me your email if you'd like to receive announcements and calendars and such. I think that's the only announcement I have.
seminar for Sunday, and you will be at, do you want to announce that?
Yes, we could. You could announce
at the Insight Meditation Center. I think it's 8 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, it is.
A.M. Yes.
Well, that's the first sit. I won't be there until the second sit. So, which is 9 or 9:30. I'm not sure. You can look it up on the IMC for their Sunday schedule, and the talk will be at 10, I think.
In Redwood City.
In Redwood City, yeah. I've just been going through all the talks I gave years and years ago. It'd be very strange to go back.
Question. Are you setting up the list for openings and closings?
Yes.
Should I include it? Oh, please.
Of course.
Are you going to talk about that?
Violet's our new Eno. So she will tap you for help in opening and closing and whatever else needs to be done. Yes. Thank you very much for doing this job.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Okay. 1 minute sip.